Amen. Let's take our Bibles together and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read from verse 8 down to verse 19. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Let's stop here and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings we've enjoyed already in this morning's service. Lord, thank you for the challenge of missions. Thank you, Lord, for just the encouragement of worshiping together with our brethren. Lord, as we study your word today, would you, by your Spirit, work in our hearts. Lord, open up our minds and give us understanding. Lord, help us to have open hearts, to be willing to apply the truths that you speak to us about today. Lord, would you fill me and enable me to boldly proclaim your truth, and may you be honored and glorified by all that's done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our series, Heroes of the Faith. Today, we're looking at the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And we have seen so far in our series that faith, true faith, is not passive. True faith is always active. And true faith leads to worship. True faith leads to work. And true faith leads to obedience to God. When you truly trust God, you will then obey His commandments. That's the way faith works. And Abraham is known as the man of faith. Throughout the scriptures, he's presented as the father of all who believe. And he's mentioned over 300 times in the scriptures. And primarily in the book of Romans and Galatians, he's highlighted as the great example of what it means to trust God. And here in Hebrews 11, we see that Abraham believed God. Verse 8 says, by faith. The Bible says he obeyed God. Verse 8 says, after he received that commandment, he obeyed. And verse 9, he followed God. The Bible says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. Listen, wherever God sent him, he went and obeyed God. And so let's consider this morning the faith of Abraham and Sarah. First, number one, faith is an adventure. Faith is an adventure. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, and let's zero in here on Abraham's story. And Genesis chapter 12 is where God kind of zeroes in on human history to call out a man that would be the father of a new nation. We know, of course, Israel. And God had special plans for Israel. But it starts off here in Genesis chapter 12 with Abram. The Bible says in Genesis 12, verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a wonderful promise of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if you read the Gospels, his lineage goes all the way back to Abraham. And in Christ, everyone on earth can be blessed. Why? Because he died for our sins, and we can have everlasting life. But look at verse 4. The Bible says, so Abram departed. That's just a simple phrase, but you know what? That took such great faith to leave home, to leave friends, family, and all that you know. The Bible says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. He often built an altar to meet with the presence of God. And so here's what we learn from Abraham's story here, this adventure of faith, that we learn as a Christian. Someone said this: as a Christian, we have no right to ask where we are going. You know what kids often ask, you take them on a family vacation, are we there yet? And as a Christian, we realize that our life is really a journey. And the question we have to ask is, who is in control of that journey? Who is charting the course of that journey? Which path are you following? You would say, well, I'm going to blaze my own path. I'm self-made man. I'm going to do things my way or the highway. Not Abraham. He was a man of faith that said, you know what? I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to trust in God. He is dependable. He is reliable. And I'm going to follow his path on this journey. And the reality is, Abraham, in doing this, took a great step of faith and leaving comfort, leaving leisure. We can tell, we can surmise from his story that he was probably a very wealthy man that could have easily just parked where he was and just enjoyed his wealth, enjoyed all that he had. But the Bible says he departed. And, you know, I kind of thought about this, especially in light of everything going on in our country, in our world with this coronavirus. You know, so often we're tempted, all of us, myself included, we want to live kind of a cautious, comfortable Christianity. We don't want to kind of shake the boat, rattle the boat too much. We just want to be comfortable. Our first principle in our life, in our flesh, is to be comfortable. Safety first. But the reality is, to live the Christian life the way God intends for us to live it, there has to be that measure of faith. You know, the outside world might even look at it and call it reckless and say it's not wise or not safe. But there's this principle of this willingness to adventure because we trust in God. And if faith, think about this, if faith could see every step of the way, if faith could see, oh, if I do this, everything's just going to work out, then that really wouldn't be faith, would it? And so God leads us, doesn't he, one step at a time. And as we launch out and say, I'm going to take my family to Burkina Faso, we don't exactly know how that's all going to play out. Or we say just simply, I'm going to take my family to church on a Sunday morning. But we step out in faith. I'm going to step out and witness to my coworkers or loved ones that need to know Jesus. I don't know how this is all going to play out, but Lord, you commanded, and so I'm going to obey. Faith is an adventure. And sometimes as Christians, we lose our spirit of adventure. I suppose the longer we're saved, we get kind of cold, calloused, comfortable, and we don't move when God asks us to move. You know, I think of in 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you go there with me quickly, when King Saul and the Israelite army were facing opposition, King Saul said, you know, maybe we'll just stay put here. We won't really worry about this too much. Philistines, we gotta survey the battlefield, and let's not move too quickly here. But Saul's son Jonathan wasn't like that. Saul's son Jonathan was a man of faith. And I love what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, but there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And you know, you could chalk that up to maybe he's kind of young and dumb. And sometimes maybe that's what it is in our Christian faith, but we've lost that sense of adventure that, Lord, I am going to step out, not knowing the outcome, but I know I can trust you. And it may be the Lord will work for us. I'm praying that this year we would be a church, we would be Christians that are willing to step out by faith. I'm not talking about presumption. I'm not talking about you doing something that's selfishly motivated. I'm talking about obeying God's will and stepping out in faith, saying, Lord, I'm going to trust what you've told me. So Abraham had that principle. He was adventurous, we could say. Abraham's faith was a faith which had patience. On the flip side, it's exciting to jump out in faith and adventure. But when Abraham reached the promised land, he was never actually allowed to possess it in his lifetime. In fact, we're going to study, he was a pilgrim in that land. He was dwelling in tents, going back and forth like a nomad. And there was this sense of kind of just waiting. God gave me this promise. I'm excited. Let's pack up family and friends and let's go and wait. And sometimes the journey of faith involves patience and simply waiting on the Lord. And sometimes some of us need to learn not to get ahead of God, but we learn to wait on the Lord. And that sometimes that can be the hardest time. Perhaps a young person growing up that has a vision for their life, but you know you're a teenager, you got to clean your room, you got to wash the car. There's kind of levels to this, right? You got to kind of step up piece by piece. You can't just go out and conquer the world all in one piece. And so we have to realize the patience of waiting. I think of young people perhaps waiting for to start a family, waiting for marriage, and you know, I just want to have all this happen. I want it now. And it takes faith to patiently wait on the Lord and trust the Lord. And so as Abraham, as a tent dweller, didn't get to see this exact fulfillment of these promises come true, but yet he never abandoned his faith. He continued to trust God. See, sometimes it's harder to wait than even to adventure. The hardest time of all is that in-between time, that in-between phase. The moment of decision, there's excitement, there's a thrill. Maybe when you achieve something, there's glory and you're satisfied, you've achieved something. But in the in-between time, you have to learn how to wait and work and watch. You know, a few weeks back, we were meeting with our young adults and talking about sometimes because of Facebook and the social media generation, we look on others and see, wow, that person accomplished this. That person got married. That person has a family. They got this career position or they did this. And you see just the highlight reel and we kind of get jealous. Man, I'm not like that at all. And this isn't working out for me. We kind of get down on ourselves. We get jealous or envious. But listen, we can't think of life as a highlight reel because what you don't see behind the picture is the effort and time and hard work and blood, sweat, and tears that went into all of that. That doesn't often make it to the Facebook highlight reel. And when someone is preparing for a career, there's something called studying and going to college perhaps and getting a degree and maybe having to grind through that or maybe work your way up the ladder and apply that in many different ways. But we're living in a microwave generation where it's, I want this and I want it to happen right this second. And we forgot what it means to wait on the Lord. And oftentimes, that's where the Christian life is lived out, isn't it? It's not always going to be the mountaintop. I've arrived. I've achieved this great thing. Everybody look at me. Oftentimes, it's behind the scenes. No one sees. No one knows. But you're waiting and trusting the Lord. What are you waiting for this morning? What are you waiting on the Lord for this morning? Maybe there is a step, an active step that God wants you to take. Or maybe it's just learning patience and learning the life lessons in that moment, waiting on God's fulfillment. And so we see Abraham in this adventure of faith. But secondly, faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Bible talks about the story of Abraham and Sarah having a child when they were, as the Bible puts it, past age. That was putting it mildly, 90 and 100 years old. That's putting it mildly. And we see that God, we need faith as Christians for the impossible. Now think about this. The Bible says by faith, verse 11, Sarah. Wait a minute. When we read the Genesis account in Genesis 18, verses 9 through 15, what was Sarah's first reaction when she was told she was going to have a child? She laughed and said, there's just no way that can happen. First she laughed in unbelief, then she learned to laugh in faith, because in Genesis 21, verse 6, Isaac was born and named him Isaac, gave him that name. And so we learn a lesson here, I believe, that Sarah's faith was not perfect. And by the way, Abraham's faith was imperfect too. I mean, let's get into there's nitty-gritty details there. Hagar and Ishmael. I mean, you talk about a mess. That's not, you know, we don't often cover that in the kindergarten Sunday school class maybe, but that was a messy situation. I mean, all types of carnality and immorality and pride. And so there's an imperfect faith there. Again, we remember these are men and women just like you and I. Frailties, there's fear, there's doubts. And so we learn an important lesson that Abraham and Sarah's faith was not a perfect faith. That's because faith is not about you. Faith is about the object of your faith. Listen, this morning, we talk to people all the time, and oftentimes people say, you know what, I wish I could have your kind of faith. I just can't do that. I'm just not strong enough. I'm just not good enough to have your kind of faith. And let me tell you something, it's not about my kind of faith. Jesus said if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You see, faith is about the object of our faith. It's weak, frail, wicked, carnal, you and I, trusting in an almighty, all-powerful God. And if God has willed it, nothing can stop it. If it's God's plan, there's nothing that can overcome or overthrow that to come to pass. And so this was God's will, that Isaac would be born to be that chosen seed. And that was God's purpose, God's plan. And here they had an imperfect faith. But here it's summarized in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah. Sometimes we do have doubt. Sometimes we do have concerns and fears. Sometimes we are tempted to take matters into our own hands. But at the end of the day, may we run back to faith in God. We're not looking at the circumstances or looking at our own, the best that we can do. We're looking at what God has planned, what God has willed. And so it's difficult to leave home and family and step out by faith, but Abraham did just that. It's difficult to believe God will give you a child when you're way past childbearing age, but Sarah eventually had faith and God blessed her with a child at the age of 90 years old. Abraham did step out in faith, went to the place God promised him, but again, this was an imperfect faith, because faith is about the object. But here is an example of faith that triumphs, the victory that we receive by faith. You think about in the Word of God, throughout stories of the Bible, God used Moses to, by faith, lead the children of Israel through the wilderness. Peter was able to walk on water. That was impossible, but as long as he looked to the Lord, by the way, that's what faith is. It's not looking at the water, wow, this is pretty rough and deep, wow, the storm's pretty bad. It's looking to Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as long as he did that, he did the impossible. And you know what? The Bible commands you and I as Christians today to walk in the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. The Bible commands us that in this spiritual battle where our flesh wants to do evil, our flesh wants to lust, to get angry, to get bitter, to be proud, and we say, preacher, it's impossible, I just can't do it. Faith says, Lord, I can trust in your Spirit and have victory. That's what faith does. Lord, I can do the impossible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Faith for the impossible. Faith to live for God in this generation. Faith to be a mouthpiece, valiant for the truth, as increasingly our culture is trying to push aside Christian values. We can, with faith, step out and speak the truth in love and still make an impact. Yes, I know our culture is getting more and more wicked, but Jesus is still alive and He's saving souls. So let's keep witnessing. Let's keep praying. Let's keep going to the mission field. Let's have faith for the impossible. That's what Abraham and Sarah did. And we might think, well, it worked for them. Well, they were just great people. Not really. Again, they had an imperfect faith, but they were trusting in a perfect God. And God proved that there's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing too hard for Him. If it's within the realm of God's will, then it's within the realm of possibility. There's nothing too hard for God. Again, this morning, what's the impossible standing before you that you need to trust the Lord for? Thirdly, we see from Abraham and Sarah's faith, the pilgrim's life of faith. The pilgrim's life of faith. The Bible says in verse 9, Hebrews 11, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. As a sojourner, he wasn't setting a permanent dwelling place. In fact, the Bible says here, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. And the word used for dwelling is this ancient Greek word that describes a resident alien, someone that's not really home. They live there, but they don't have a permanent status there. And so we had this mentality that, you know what? This is not my permanent home. And he traveled as a tent dweller, the Bible tells us. And why was it that Abraham didn't have such a tight grip on real estate? Why was that Abraham didn't get into real estate? The Bible says, verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, he didn't set his roots too deep in a temporary world while waiting for the heavenly reality. And you know, that's where we live today as Christians. The reality is the Bible calls us to be dual citizens. That yes, we're citizens of whatever respective country we live in, but the Bible says our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. And we have dual citizenship. Some of us have tri-citizenship, or maybe more than that, amen? But the reality is we realize that this world is not my home, as the song says. I'm just a passing through. We sing the other chorus, I feel like traveling on. We realize that we're in this world, but it's temporary. And so what do we do with temporary things? Yeah, we don't pretend like we don't have to get a job and have a home and raise our families. We don't pretend like that's not a reality. But the priority of our lives is the eternal values. That we don't compromise the eternal for the temporal. Can I say that again? We don't compromise the eternal for the temporal. And Abraham understood he was looking for that city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for a country. He wasn't getting too cozy down here. And may we realize we are called to be pilgrims. You see, the pilgrim's desire is to pass through the world without having the world pass through them, without having the world have its imprint upon them. And we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And by the way, increasingly, we're going to be distinct and different from the world. How we walk, how we talk, how we dress, the things we say, the things we don't say, the places we go or don't go. Increasingly, we're going to be different and distinct. Some Christians don't like that because it's all about fitting in and blending into the world and culture around us. But that's not the biblical model. That's not what Abraham did. That's not what Christians are to do. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. That doesn't mean that we're strange. Some of us might be. Some of us more peculiar than others. Amen. I'm pretty peculiar, I'll be honest. But the Bible says that we're a chosen people, that we're set apart. We're a distinct people. Don't run from who God made you to be. God made you to be different in Christ. He created you as a new creature in Christ the moment you were saved to be different. And that's why I believe the worst, the most miserable person on earth is a Christian that's trying to live like the world. You ever notice how Christians never can even really keep up? They try to act cool, but they're always kind of behind the times. They try to kind of be in and with it, but they're always kind of like, man, you're still not cool. But Christians always, they try to blend and syncretize their culture and their faith, and the Bible says it doesn't work. It's never going to work. And so we realize that we're in the world, but not of the world. And so we don't get too cozy down here. We realize our eternal purpose to reach the lost, to win them to Christ. In verse 13, the Bible also says that the patriarchs here, these all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Patriarchs didn't get to see all of their innumerable descendants that God had promised. Didn't get to see the total occupation of the promised land or even the fulfillment of the Messiah. But the Bible says that they still embraced faith. And so faith here we see is, again, seeing through eyes of faith. Even when the fulfillment doesn't come before our own eyes, we continue to trust God. And the reality here is if these examples of faith endured through difficulty and discouragement without having received the promises, then what about us who we're on the other side, we have seen the promises. How much more should we have that resolve, that steadfastness in our faith? We have the complete Word of God. We've seen God be faithful in keeping His promises. Why don't we trust Him as much as Abraham and Sarah? And so we need to understand the reality of faith. It's looking to the Lord, trusting Him, and acting and obeying His commandments. They anticipated with joy as if they already possessed the reality. In other words, they lived as if it was already true, as if it was already fulfilled. And that's what faith is. It's dark, it's cloudy, but we continue to trust and look to the Lord. Someone said this, I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with Him than go alone by sight. Then fourthly, let's consider today the ultimate test of faith. The ultimate test of faith. If you look at Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises of offered up his only begotten son. The greatest test of Abraham's faith was offering up Isaac. He was the son of the promise. He, Isaac, was, not Ishmael. And that was the fulfillment. God told Abraham that he would make a mighty nation from his seed. And then God told him to offer up his son Isaac. And we might say, Lord, that doesn't compute. Lord, I'm trying to work this out in my mind, and I can't understand that. But Abraham calculated something more than just from a human perspective. Abraham calculated, the Bible says, that God would even be able to raise him up from the dead. Wow. Abraham looked and said, we're going to obey the Lord, son. And by the way, we often think of Isaac as like a five-year-old kind of going up the mountain. Isaac was probably 30 years old. He could have overpowered his father. So Isaac showed faith as well. And so this was faith here going up the mountain. And the example here is of consecration, dedication, sacrifice. God was kind of seeing if Abraham was all in, as we would say. You know, some people, they kind of want to just dip their toe a little bit into the faith. And I'll kind of maybe go to church Christmas and Easter. Or maybe if there's a big problem in my life, then I'll pray, then I'll read the Bible. And God was kind of seeing if Abraham was meant business here about trusting Him, if he was really all in. And we see that often faith demands that we sacrifice. There is a cost for trusting God. There is a cost for choosing to live out what God has called us to do. Sometimes we must sacrifice relationships. We sacrifice possessions or maybe even our own personal ambitions and desires. But we calculate the cost and say, Lord, You're worthy. Lord, You are reliable. I'd rather trust You than all those other things. So that's what Abraham was being tested on. And Abraham, we know, passed the test. Now, some people don't like the story of Abraham and Isaac because they think it somehow shows God demands a human sacrifice. But never in the Scripture does God do that. Ultimately, God never intended for Isaac to truly be sacrificed. In fact, Abraham said in Genesis 22, verse 8, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And what Abraham was predicting there, I believe, is that God Himself would be the sacrifice. You see, the only begotten Son of God would be the one that would die on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to come to this sinful world so that he could die in our place. You see, God is a just God who must punish sin, who must judge sin. So where does that put us? We're square in the bullseye of that wrath, that judgment. But Jesus stepped in. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when you trust in Jesus Christ alone, the Bible says he takes your sin away and he gives you his righteousness. What a glorious promise of salvation. I hope this morning you know for sure you're saved. I hope this morning you're not trusting in your own good works or baptism, being a good person. You're trusting only in Jesus Christ because of what he did for you on the cross. I hope this morning you understand this wonderful grace. We do not deserve this. It's simply by God's grace that we can have salvation through Jesus Christ. God himself would be the sacrifice. The Bible encourages us here with the faith of Abraham and Sarah. The Bible says, again, these all, in verse 13, died in faith. Sometimes people say, well, when I'm on my deathbed, that's when I'll have faith. That's when I'll get saved. That's not what verse 13 is talking about. It means they lived in faith, and now they're dying in faith. Their race is complete. Their journey is complete. As Paul said, I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. Man, I want that to be my testimony. How about you this morning? That we die also in faith. By faith, Abraham gave up the world and rested on future promises. And by faith, God wants you and I to give up this old sinful world and live for eternal promises. If your world is the admiration of trees and nature and objects of earth around you, faith helps you to open your eyes and see a world with hills and suns without their burning, trees without their dying, flowers never fading, nature unstained by sin. If your world is the praise of men, you're called to give it up because faith offers you the praise of God instead. If your world is success in your earthly calling, you are called to resign those hopes of earthly success and find faith through humiliation to find grace in the Lord to reign one day as kings and priests forever. If your world is your family, where affections motivate you, God willingly calls you to cheerfully resign, and faith points us to our heavenly family. Again this morning, we all need to display faith. We all need to walk by faith, not by sight. What is it that God wants you to trust him for? What is it that God wants you to step out and wait on him? Maybe perhaps God is testing you, perhaps in this very moment in your life. Will you hold the faith? Will you continue to trust? Even when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, you trust in God's eternal promises? This morning, maybe for you, it's just the reality of faith for salvation. Maybe you've never truly been born again. You're not sure where you'll spend your eternal destiny. By faith, you can look to Jesus Christ and receive salvation. I want to close with one last scripture this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Said earlier that in the Bible, Abraham is presented to us as the prime example of faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You see, it's not doing enough good things to earn credit with God. It's simply trusting in God. And God credits you with righteousness. Verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This morning, have you been saved by faith? Now, after we trust Christ and we're saved, certainly God does want us to work and step out and obey Him. Let's look at verse number 20. Well, let's look at verse number 19. Romans 4, verse 19 says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." This morning, may we never stagger. May we be fully persuaded, fully assured of what God wants to do for us in our day. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for your word and the tremendous examples. Lord, how convicting, Lord, so often we walk in doubt and unbelief. Lord, I pray this morning you would stir up our faith. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief, as the scripture says. Lord, I pray every corner that there's darkness and doubt and questions, that we would look to you, that you're a reliable God, a trustworthy God. Lord, you're a God worth sacrificing. Our earthly possessions, relationships, ambitions. Lord, help us to be willing to step out in the adventure of faith. Help us, Lord, to also be willing to wait on you, to pass the test, to truly trust you in all things. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, perhaps God is speaking to you, especially about the need of salvation. I'm burdened. Maybe there's someone here that you've never called on faith to Jesus for salvation. If you were to die and leave this world, you might end up in a sinner's hell. You're not sure if your sins are forgiven, if you're saved, if you're born again. We want to encourage you. We want to point you to the gospel this morning. How many would say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved. God's speaking to me." Is there anyone this morning by uplifted hand? We want to pray for you and encourage you to trust Jesus. How about it, Christian? Is there something God wants you to trust Him for? Maybe you are trusting Him, but to stir you up, to never stagger, but to be fully persuaded to continue going forth. I'm going to ask our pianist to start playing through a hymn of invitation quietly, and let's recommit our faith to God this morning. Lord, I'm going to trust you for, and fill in the blank. What does he want you to step out or wait on him, trust him with? Can I encourage you? He wants you to step out and be a witness for him as a Christian. He wants you to live out your faith every day. Oh, maybe even this week, God wants you to share Jesus with somebody. He wants you to make disciples. He wants you to teach the Word of God, encourage people. He wants families to be strengthened upon the foundation of God's Word. Husbands loving their wives as Jesus loved the church. Wives submitting to their husband as Sarah to her husband. Children obeying mom and dad. Oh, we need to trust the Lord in our homes.